All right, if you have a Bible, please go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And as we've mentioned a few times, we're planning on continuing the series of lessons in this Sunday night time slot that we've been working on, the Striving Together Sunday School series is what it is, and praying that God would continue to use it in a great and mighty way in each of our lives. Depending on what time we get done, we might actually get done a little bit before the Patch Club gets done. So again, bear with us for a couple of weeks as we try to have a brand new schedule and a brand new sense of timing. But even if they're still going, I don't think we have to rush anyway. We'll let them finish up. We would have time, obviously, to fellowship up here. But we're trying to coordinate both of these. But Patch Club has been meeting from 2:30 to about 4:15. That's an hour and 45 minutes. And we're not planning on going an hour and 45 minutes tonight. So we don't want to take out too much of Patch Club, but at the same time, we're trying to coordinate it to where this meeting and that meeting would end around the same time. But please just be patient with us as we work, as we all are adjusting to a brand new Sunday schedule. I don't know about you, but for me, I couldn't sit still this afternoon. I was walking around, pacing all over the house. Emma's like, "Dad, you're going to have to sit down. We just can't continue for the next 2 hours. I'm just walking. What can I do?" It's just new, right? We did it for years, but now the last 3 years, we haven't done it. We've just continued and gone on. But anyway, praise the Lord for this opportunity. We are on lesson number 2, Striving in the Home. Striving in the Home. The last, let's see, what did it take? 3 weeks, and we taught on striving together as a church family. And so now we're going to look at this lesson of striving together in each family, in each family. And I would say tonight that it matters not the size of our family, whether it is a single adult, whether it is just a married couple with maybe grown children or young children or whatever it may be. The truths from God's Word that we're looking at in this lesson are applicable regardless of where we're at and regardless of what our home looks like. When you think of the picture on the front of the book, if you have the book, does anybody know what that's a picture of? Can you tell what those are? Rowers, yeah, rowing team. And can you imagine on a rowing team, it's best, obviously, if everybody is working together, right? If you've got six or I don't know how many rowers there normally are at one time in a rowing boat. I've never done rowing. Has anybody ever done rowing? Nobody's ever done rowing? Okay, so if I relate to rowing wrong, you won't know anyway because we've never done it. But I think rowing has to do with timing and working together. And if you've got 5 or 6 rowers and everybody has their own idea and their own agenda of how this boat is going to get from point A to point B, it's probably going to be a pretty sad expedition of rowing. You're probably going to be going this way when you're supposed to be going straight. I've watched some of those in the Olympics and things. Man, those things can go really fast. And so that's the idea of striving together, whether it is in a church setting or tonight, we're talking about rowing together in a home. And it's so important, regardless of, again, the size of the home, that each member seek to contribute toward a common goal. A common goal. And then we're going to look at 3 strategies. We'll see how far we get to the end of this tonight. So if you're taking notes or if you have the book, we're looking at number 1, Ephesians 5, verse 18. It's amazing how things are coming together, by the way, in the preaching and teaching right now at Anchor Baptist Church. It's only of the Lord that it would come together like this. So don't think, oh, this was all planned in advance by, you know, Pastor Turner or whatever. No, it's just the way it's working out. And because tonight we're going to talk much about the Holy Spirit. And if you were with us last Sunday, you know we talked about the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to shy away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of God, co-equal, co-existent, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18 of Ephesians 5. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the" what? Spirit. Or who? the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a what, the Holy Spirit's a who. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks, isn't this something? Giving thanks always for all things. We had somebody tonight just say, really in a sense, cancer isn't necessarily good, but I thank God anyway. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the Bible says. And here the Apostle Paul, again that church in Ephesus that we learned about this morning, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Number one, we must seek His power. If we're going to strive together in the home, we must seek God's power. Again, this is not just for the dad. This is not just for mom. This is not just for, Billy Bob. You have Billy Bob in your home? Is anybody in Billy Bob? This is not just for Susie Q. Okay? This is for everyone. This is for everyone in the home except maybe the dog, okay? The dog doesn't need the power of God. But we all need the power of God regardless of who we are in the home. We must seek that power. It says in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And then the following verses of this chapter and onward, isn't it amazing, have the most complete instructions on the family relationship in the Word of God. But what precedes the list of instructions? Be filled with the Spirit. We can't fulfill the role of husband. We can't fulfill the role of wife. We can't fulfill the role of children. They're listed. We can't fulfill our role properly in our own strength and our own power. We can try, but I think we're going to find that we're going to end up failing. We must have the power of God even within the home. I am powerless to follow the instructions listed here unless I seek the enabling of the Spirit of God. This is something that's really been captivating me and reminding me anew and afresh at what we have and who we have in ourselves as believers to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. You know, some of these things in here are hard to do. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm supposed to love my wife to the same degree that Christ loves the church? That's hard to do. That's you think about it. And we're all humans and we're all flesh. And sometimes we all treat one another in a home like we should not. And we think, how am I supposed to respond to this? I'm supposed to respond to this in the power of the Spirit of God. That's the only way we can respond. If we're going to respond in the way God wants us to. The fullness of the Spirit is the door through which we enter the happy and healthy Christian home. Happy and healthy Christian home. How's it going to happen? Filled with the Spirit. The power of God. It's available. That we must seek His power. We've been learning that the fullness of the Spirit begins when a Christian walks closely to the Lord. We hope to begin that series, continue that series again this Wednesday. What does our walk with God look like? We can't have the power of God if the only day we open the Bible is Sunday. We know that, don't we? We've got to have this book open every single day of the week because this is the spiritual nourishment that you and I need to have the power of God and to have a home. And so the fullness of the Spirit begins when we walk close to the Lord and through Bible study and prayer. And then what happens? After we have that time of Bible study and prayer, and then we say, okay, I need to die today. I must die. And we take a moment and we say, God, I have my own will and I have my own desire, even for this day. I want to die to those plans. I want to die to what I want to do. And it's a crucifying, if you will, of the flesh. As Paul said, I must die every day. I must die every day. Isn't it amazing? We die on Monday and that flesh comes back to life. On Tuesday, there it is. We have victory on Tuesday, and what do you know? Right there, it's waiting for us again on Wednesday. And so, it's that crucifixion of our will and ways. It's turning our back on the world. You know, the song says, though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, right there it is. That's what I was trying to think. The world behind me, the what?
Rock.
Cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. You know, we can't have the world and the cross in the same view and expect to have a striving together church and a striving together home. Put the world in the rearview mirror, break the mirror, and then go ahead and press on for the glory of God. Christ before me, cross before me. And finally, as we think about this beginning here of this seeking his power, we must ask for and yield to his filling power every day. Every day. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event. Being indwelt with the Spirit is a one-time event. We get indwelt with the Spirit the day that we get saved. I like what it says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We're secure tonight in the hand of God. And we can have assurance tonight that he is our Savior. He is our King. But again, there's that thing that we need every day. That's that emptying of self and being filled with the Spirit. So, four results. Four results under number one. So, we want to seek his power. Four results. Number one, what happens when we seek his power? Letter A. We will have a sanctified life. We will have a sanctified life. When our lives are filled up with his Spirit, then our lives, by definition, will be emptied of sin and self. Remember, you can't be filled with the Spirit and filled with self at the same time. Just like we said this morning, you can't be possessed with the Holy Spirit and possessed with a demon. It's impossible. You can't be demon-possessed if you're saved. But as we think about that same way, I can't be filled with me and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't work that way. I've got to be emptied of myself in order to be filled with the Spirit. And so we have a sanctified life. So we're emptied of sin. We're emptied of self. You cannot and I cannot be controlled by God and self at the same time. Look what it says in verse 18. Here's what it's talking about. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You can't be controlled with alcohol and controlled with the Holy Spirit. In the same sense, we cannot be controlled with what we want and controlled with what God wants at the same time. It doesn't work that way. A car has how many drivers? One driver. A car might have backseat drivers. How many of you know what a backseat driver is? Okay, all right. How many of you have ever been accused of being a backseat driver? And we're at church now. Be honest now. Don't scratch your head, Brother Barry. Go ahead. Yeah, we know what that's about. I'm guilty of that. Because you know what? I'm driving all the time. And so when I get in the car, anybody else is driving, and I'll be nice. Okay. I'll be nice. When my wife is driving, or anybody for that matter, you know what? I'm prone to be saying, "Oh no, you gotta get, turn up here." Oh, you know. And then they know where they're going. But you know, if maybe you're, hopefully somebody else is guilty of it, because I'm definitely guilty of it. Just be quiet, let them drive, you know. But sometimes though, I wish I would have said something, because you know, we missed the turn, and then we lost the whole 30 seconds, you know. Like 30 seconds is going to change our lives, you know. That's how I'm terrible at that sometimes. We have one driver, one steering wheel. I do remember when my dad was a driver's ed instructor. And so we had to get one of our cars, the car that we got for driver's ed. We had an old, really old 1969 Dodge truck. I say one of our cars. Makes it sound like we had this whole fleet of cars in the driveway. We had a 1969 Dodge truck that the bottom of it was rusting out. In Michigan, it had snow and salt on the roads. And so it was known to do that to the bottom of the car. Maybe Ontario would be like that as well. And I can remember seeing the ground as we're driving to school in that 69 Dodge. And then just some other... When my dad was trying to get driver's ed business off the ground, he had to get a little bit more dependable vehicle than a 69 Dodge for driver's ed. Anyway, but on the passenger side, he had an extra brake installed. For good reason. Because that way, if the driver got panicky, or the driver didn't know what they were doing, he could also put the brake on for him and help him a little bit. But that's only in special cars, right? One driver, And I look at my life tonight, and maybe look at your life tonight, and think for just a minute, how many drivers right now? And we're not talking about golf, okay? We're talking about steering wheels. How many drivers? We need one driver, and one driver only. If we have to picture it a little bit, we get up in the morning, we get up and we sit in the passenger seat, quote unquote, or the couch, or the chair, or the table, wherever you do your devotions, you say, okay, God, I'm in the passenger seat, you're in the driver's seat, where are we going today? What do you have for my life today? And the life that is being filled by the Spirit of God will become more like Jesus Christ and less like the world. Think about it. Sanctify means set apart. Set apart. Am I becoming more like Jesus, or am I becoming more like the world? I want to become more like the Lord and less like the world. And by the way, the Spirit of God, whoever the Spirit of God is indwelling, that individual will take on the character of the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of character we need. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the qualities that we need to have in our life. And so it makes us sanctified. We're not ready to get past that yet. Let's go to the Old Testament book, please, of Deuteronomy. Let's consider for a moment the sanctified life in the lives of our children. We have several children, teenagers, but you're still children. I guess all of us are still children, but we have some more young people downstairs, and we have newborns, and we have toddlers. Praise the Lord for all the ages of Anchor Baptist Church. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Let's consider about the influence of a sanctified life in the lives of our child. I want to just talk to us tonight as parents. May the Word of God challenge. Maybe the Word of God will correct us tonight. Again, I'm not where I need to be all the time. I want the Word of God to correct me and help me and encourage me. But when parents make a sincere commitment to live for and honor God with their lives, it will only benefit those children that are watching them. It will only give them a godly example to follow. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 31 and verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Look at verse 13. Special attention here. And that their children, which have not known anything, children, and I say this to the utmost love and respect, but children, youth, are very simple. They're very moldable. They're easily influenced. Just go to a youth conference one time, if you forgot what that's all about, but it happens. One person can influence a whole car. I had a whole carload of guys in my car. Again, I'm not going to. It's okay, guys. We had a truce, that, remember? And one would say something. I mean, those guys were crazy. I didn't know those guys laughed that much. You get them together in a car and put a ice cap in them and look out. You know, put 5 Timbits in them and look out. It's going to be a great time. You got to focus on the road, right? You got a lot of backseat drivers. But no, the Bible here says that they may what? Hear. That they may learn. What are they hearing? What are they learning? To fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it, underlining and thinking about that, that their children, which they have not known anything, that they're moldable, they're pliable, I can't think of another adjective that I'm thinking of or that I want to think of, but they're impressionable. That's the word I want. They're impressionable. They can be impressionable for the things of the world and the things of the enemy, or they they can be so impressionable to the things of God. And that's where it's our responsibility that we seek as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, to live in a sincere commitment. When we come to things in the Word of God and we know that what this decision that we're about to make, listen, think about this, this decision that we're about to make runs contrary to the Scriptures. We need to really put the brakes on. We need to say, wait a minute, this isn't just about what I want to do. This isn't just about what is easier. You know, I think we all know this. There's some things in the Bible that there would be an easier way to do than what the Bible says. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. Oh, and so I want to just encourage us tonight and really admonish us tonight that if we say we believe the Bible and again, no parent is perfect, no pastor is perfect, no teenager is perfect, but we say we believe the Bible, you know what we need to do? Not just say it, we need to make sure we honor God's Word in our homes. And again, no home, I'm not here tonight to say there's a perfect home. There isn't a perfect home. But there's a perfect Bible. There's a perfect God. And there's a right way and a wrong way to follow His Word. Let's not say we believe the Bible, but then contradict what we say we believe by how we live. I have wrote this down in my notes here in the book. Consistency is crucial. Consistency is crucial. Someone once said, train up your child in the way he should go and walk there yourself once in a while too. It just says author unknown, but it almost sounded like we were giving you a Bible verse though, didn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go and walk there yourself every once in a while. Wow, that's pretty pointed, isn't it? But it's so true. Not do as I say, it's do as I do. My example to my children, my actions to my children are so valuable. Yes, my word is also valuable, but what do they see me do rather than what do they hear me saying? Both are important. So what will happen if we seek His power? Number one, we will have a sanctified life. I like this next one. Letter B, we will have a singing heart. Do you sing at your house? Not just in the shower, okay? Do you sing at your house? Boy, we need to have some singing in our homes and singing in, not just in our heart. Folks, you can sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Look what verse 19 says. Now, it does say speaking to yourselves, though. So, maybe we're not supposed to sing to everyone else. We're only supposed to sing to ourselves. And, you know, some of us have trouble carrying a tune in a bucket. I don't know. I don't think anybody out here is like that. I think all of you can carry tunes, right? And just sing unto the Lord. Look at what it says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Seeking the power of God will give us letter B, a singing heart. It produces a joy that cannot be silent. Too many times it can be assumed that the sanctified life is grueling or boring. No, the sanctified life is one of great joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We've got the joy, 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 joy down in our heart. Singing and making melody to the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Do you know Philippians 4:4? Many of you probably know that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. It's a great little song, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. If you know it, let's sing. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And that could just keep going on. And it's one of those rounds, and you just keep singing forever. Folks, if you die tonight and you're saved, let me just tell you the bad news. You're going to heaven. That's not bad news. That's good news. Why do we complain all the time? Why are we ungrateful all the time? Why are we unthankful all the time? I love Brother Dwayne's attitude. My car broke.
That's a great attitude, isn't it? You know, that's exciting. Thank you for sharing that again, Brother Duane. And I know probably he and I and everybody in here have not been thankful at times too. That's a great testimony. May God help all of us to look at our life and realize this is only going to last a short time. Eternity is forever. Eternity is forever, together in heaven with Jesus, singing every tune right, hitting every note right with Tejada, me and you, hitting every note right. I'm teasing. The timing and all of it. Don't worry, Brother Tejada. When you lead, just keep leading that way. It's all good, brother. Don't worry about it. Paul said to the believers in Corinth, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul said to the believers at Corinth about something here regarding this thought of joy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It's exciting to be saved. It's exciting to be on your way to heaven. It's exciting to be in church and have a Bible. Think about it. We have a copy of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Notice what Paul says here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your what? Verse 24. Did I tell you that? Sorry. Sorry. Verse 24. Sorry. See, you can have look and laugh at me too, and it gives you joy. That's good. Look at verse 24. Helpers of your what? Joy. See, I was helping you have joy by not telling you the verse. See? Didn't even know it. There we go. God works in every way, especially in the mistakes of the pastor. All right. Helpers of the joy. You know what? That's what we need to be in the home. Let's be helpers of the joy in the home. Dad, it starts with us. Maybe that doesn't sound right, but we're the leader. Let's be a helper of the joy in the home. Mom, be a helper of the joy in the home. Kids, be a helper of the joy in the home. Paul said, hey, in the church, be a helper of joy in the church. Be someone that has a smile on their face. Okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, I love having a singing heart. I love singing. I love whistling. I told you before, going into prison one time, prison ministry. See, helpers of joy, helpers of joy. Going to the prison one time, and I was whistling it to my, and I love whistling. The chaplain pulled me aside. He had this somber look on his face. He said, "Don't whistle in here." I said, "Why are we whispering?" He said, "Whistling is to incite a riot." I said, "Oh, okay, so don't." I didn't do that. I said, "Okay, I won't whistle." But I guess that's what they do. I don't know. That's what he told me. So, but I love to whistle. Have a tune. Have a song for the day. Get in the Word of God. You know, we've said this before. Everybody should have a Bible, and everybody should have a hymn book in their home. A Bible and at least one hymn book in your home. These are great. These are great. So when we ask for the power of God, number one, we'll have a sanctified life. Number two, we'll have a singing heart. Number three, we will have a satisfied spirit. We will have a satisfied spirit. We kind of talked about it briefly, but let's look at it in a little bit more detail. Verse 20. Back to our text. Ephesians 5, 20. Satisfied spirit. Verse 20 says, giving thanks for all things. Someone who is filled with the Spirit has a spirit of gratitude. Amen? I remember when I was 17 years old, first time to ever leave North America, and I went to Mexico. The purpose of the trip was to go help build some buildings for a missionary in the state of Chihuahua. It's the first time I'd ever left North America. It's the first time I ever saw a third world country. I was 17 years old. And it really, you know, it really challenged me. Because, you know, I didn't have Air Jordans, but I have a whole lot compared to what these people had. And that's not to say these people are any less. In fact, some of them had more joy than I had. And they didn't even have shoes. Some of them had more excitement than I had, and they just had enough, to get by day by day. And yet, isn't it amazing that it's not about the material things? It's about what's in our heart. It's about the joy that the Lord provides. And I remember being in those churches, and some of them had a little bit more than others. Some of them had literally not much at all. But man, the singing. I couldn't tell what they were saying except, Jesus Christo. But, the singing. You see, these people, in my opinion, they had a satisfied spirit. Maybe they struggled with it in another way. Because we all struggle with wanting some stuff at times. We all struggle sometimes with not being content. But that's what God will give us if we are filled with the Spirit and the power of God. We'll have a satisfied spirit. We live in a very unthankful world. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. An unthankful world. I hope you kids will just always be thankful. And I'm not picking on you kids tonight, because adults can be that way too. Always be thankful. Always be thankful for what you have. Always be grateful. You know what? When you get up from the dinner table, always tell whoever made the meal, thank you. Did you hear that, teenagers? Okay, I'm not saying you're not thankful. Did you hear that, husbands? It's not just for the teenagers. Thank you. I doubt many of us husbands cook the meals. If we do, sometimes, like Brother Ken catches a big fish. Wow, we get to see a picture of that big fish that he caught. Amazing. But then I think his wife is the one who cooked it. But anyway, thank whoever cooked the meal. If you cooked it, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And all of us, thank you, God, for providing. Be thankful. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 3:2. That's something that my parents, and I'll get to 2 Timothy 3:2, but my parents constantly, and I'm so glad they did, be thankful. Say thank you. It's kind of a lost thing, isn't it, in our world today? May it not be said of us that we don't say thank you. Look at verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's the context? Verse 1, the last days. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and here it is, unthankful. Unthankful. May it not be said of us that we're unthankful. There's an unquenchable thirst in our day for more. More, more, more. There's an unquenchable thirst for satisfaction. Where do we find our satisfaction in this world? You won't find it in this world. Our satisfaction is not found in this world. Our satisfaction is found in the world to come, if you will. But in this world, we have something that is eternal. Right? God's word is eternal. We find our satisfaction in the things of God. And yes, we can go through very difficult times. Everybody in here could tell us about a difficult time in your life. But yet, even in that difficult time, you can be thankful and you can be satisfied. Because you know God is in that. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry no thing out. You've heard people say, there's never been a U-Haul behind the hearse in the funeral. You can't take anything with you. Right? Let's send it ahead. Let's send it ahead. You know, as we give to missions, as we give to the local church, and we buy Bibles, and we give them out, and we give I responded, by the way, keep praying for these door hangers. I mentioned this morning about having someone reach out and got a door hanger, and I was able to respond to that individual this afternoon and praying that we can make connection beyond a text message, but that's a start. But those cost money. And God's people, we've paid for those with the money that God's given us. I'm just saying, to God be the glory. But, we don't have to put our tithe in the offering plate. We can rock God if we want. I wouldn't advise that. But that's a choice. We still have to submit. But when we're giving, and then giving that faith promise offering, which is over and above the tithe, and giving to this and giving to that, and buying a gift card and giving it to the mission, what is this? This is laying up treasure. treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal.
Praise the Lord.
Contentment. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Discontentment. You know, discontentment ruins homes. Discontentment ruins marriages. Discontentment ruins churches. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. So, we get a sanctified life when we have His power. We have a singing heart. We have a satisfied spirit. And by the way, these are all building on this striving together in the home. These are kind of prerequisites. But then notice number 4. We'll stop with this. Letter D, we will have a submissive disposition. A submissive disposition. In just a few verses from now, wives will be instructed to submit to their husbands, which speaks to the God-designed structure of the home. But first, and might I add, foundationally, look what verse 21 says. Please, back to Ephesians 5. I don't know where you're at, but that's where we're going to be. Back to Ephesians 5. Verse 21, you've read this verse before. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Yes, there is a divine structure in the home. Wives are to submit to their husbands. But before that verse even comes in this text, we are commanded, all of us as Christians, to submit to one another, which speaks to the God-designed spirit of the home. You notice the difference? One is the structure of the home. What is the structure of the home? Husband, wife, children. That's the structure of the home. I didn't write that, God did. But the spirit of the home is husband, wife, children submitting themselves one to another. That's the spirit of the home. And that should be in every home. That should be in every home. That should be in every church. We should all be submitting ourselves one to another. I think Brother Barry was talking about the closeness of the local church, and we want that to be the case, and we desire that to be the case. And so it is for everyone within the home. Husbands, we must exercise a spirit of submission one to another. What does this look like? Here's what it looks like. Putting the needs of others before mine. Putting the needs of others in the home before yours. Would you go with me to Romans 12? Romans 12. Just about to the end of tonight's lesson. Romans 12. Great verse of scripture considering submissive disposition. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, here it is, in honor, preferring one another. So that means that you prefer whatever your sister wants. Brother. Yes, Killian, that's you too. I saw you look over there. It's preferring what somebody else wants. Not always having to have my say. You know, okay, I'm King Ben. Everybody's supposed to submit to me in this home. That's not the right spirit. It's preferring one another. What would you like to have? You know, picking out ice cream at the store, you know, and I may have my favorite, and you may have your favorite. Boy, I had some really good ice cream this week, by the way. Can't let out that secret. But anyway. And you know, I want to pick. What kind would you like that? Preferring one another, in honor, preferring one. That's the spirit of the home. Submitting ourselves one to another. Yes, the structure of the home is clearly laid out in the Bible, but so is the spirit of the home. And sometimes I think we maybe overly emphasize the structure and we kind of skip over that spirit of the home, which is everybody submitting themselves one to another. How? Look, remember what it said? Submitting themselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. So don't lose sight of that. In a home where the members are filled with the Spirit, they don't look out for number one. They look out for one another. It's not me first, but it's we first. Me first, we first, right? There is no room for selfish motives and behaviors when the home is filled with the Spirit. The last verse I'll give you is Philippians 2:4, which says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So if we're going to strive together in the home, number one, big number one, we must seek His power. I hope you'll meditate, think about that. There was four subpoints. Possibly God spoke to your heart about one of those subpoints. And just allow the Lord to continue to help us to strive together. Don't be the rower that wants to go faster than the other person in the boat. Let's strive together. Let's work together. Let's submit to one another.